go back to the book of Ephesians, and we will be again in chapter 1 today. So we'll finish up chapter 1 hopefully today. So I just have a question I want you guys to think about. I don't want you to answer it right now, but I want you to just get it in your mind right now. How do you show that you are thankful for those around you? What practical things do you do to show that to people? Regardless of being a Christian, there are things this world does that shows thanks in an attitude and mindset for the people in their lives. Today, when we come to Ephesians, we're going to be learning about a relationship that God wants to have with us and a relationship that Paul had with the believers at the church of Ephesus. So while I'm at school, I have a minor I'm studying. So I have my major is pastoral, my minor is in public speaking. Now with public speaking, you take a wide range of classes that just talk about regular conversation to how to communicate better online and present maybe a website or social media. Well, there was a class that was really interesting I took this last year called Advanced Rhetoric. And what they did is they took theories of communication and broke it down to kind of understand how we relate to other people. And within this class I took, there was a unique theory they talked about called the uncertainty reduction theory. So essentially what it was is they talked about what happens when people first connect with another person. The first time you met someone here at Bethel, it might have been they handed you a tract in the street. Could have been a handshake after a service. There's plenty of different interactions that happen the first time you meet someone. And there's good things that happen in those interactions, and there can be bad things that happen. You can focus the conversation completely on yourself, or you can ask questions and engage and try to build a relationship with one another. And that theory kind of helped me break down something that was stuck in my mind. Growing up, I grew up in a pastor's home, and sometimes when I'd see other believers, I just assumed, oh, it's their job to reach out to me. Oh, it's their duty. I'm a kind of, you should be interested in me. And that's really not the case. As Christians, we're supposed to be reaching out and connecting with one another with a heart of love that only comes through Christ. In Ephesians right today, we're going to see Paul has a mindset where he's wanting to interact with people in a positive way, where he's going to God in prayer for the believers there. So let's start here. We're going to read here in Ephesians 1, verse 15. It says, "Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave unto him the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Today, we're going to see that God wants to empower us through a growing relationship with him. That's going to impact how we relate to other believers. Ultimately, it's a focus of us having a close relationship with God that understands his purpose here in the church and in the entire world. So let's pray before we get in to the rest of this message. Lord, I ask that you would help your word to connect with people's lives, that you'd help us to understand we need to be drawing closer to you. And I thank you for, again, even the message this morning from Dr. Cherian that you've shown us through prayer. Please help us to draw near to you and see you as the ultimate supplier of our needs in your name. Amen. So first, I want you to see that we must have a foundation of faith in Christ and love for other believers. First, we must have a foundation of faith in Christ and love for other believers. Right away in verse 15, Paul talks about what he heard about the believers in Ephesus. They were trusting in Christ. They had believed that he was the one person who had died for their sins. He was the one who gave them eternal life in a relationship with God. And that was evidenced by their love for other believers. How we act towards others is a testimony of what God's done in our heart. And the love that these believers had was, Paul heard about it and it came back to him. And this is something that was a good thing Paul wanted them to know. He wanted them to understand that they can point out this love that they had. The church at Ephesus had a testimony and their faith was completely focused on Christ. In Romans 4:16, it talks about how faith is the ultimate goal that we must have. It says, therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. It's a focus of faith in God, completely trusting that he is the one in control, and the one who sent his son for us to have a relationship with. The object of their faith was Christ. And because of him being the object of their faith, that's what comes out and built a love relationship between them and the other believers in the church there. So it says, again, I'm going to point back. I don't need you to turn there. But to the Ephesians church, love for other believers was proof of their faith in Christ. In 1 John 4:7-8, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. This is an evidence of their faith in Christ. The rest of the world doesn't have a complete understanding of this kind of love, where it's sacrificial and caring for other people. When I've been here at Bethel so far, I've seen you guys love each other. You care for one another as a church. This is something that God wants in every church. And it's something that we should continue. We should continue this love for one another and love for those who are lost as well, who need to come to Christ. Believers are known by what they're trusting in, and that plays out completely in the way we interact with other people. And then in verse 16, he says, and cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Paul was thankful for the other believers. He was pointing to God and saying, God, I'm thankful for the believers you've put in my life that in the church of Ephesus. And at times, it's easy for us to get self-focused and start thinking, it's about me. I want my relationship with God to be close. I don't want to struggle with sin. I don't want to live for other people. I just want to have a close relationship with God. We can get really focused. We can study God's word, but it can really just become a self-interested faith. We need an outworking of faith that connects with other people. It's not just about us, but it's about what God's doing in the entire world, in this congregation and in other congregations, through the life of believers having a close walk with God. And this is why Paul was giving thanks for them. He realized that God was working through them, and he wanted to acknowledge that. And he wanted to go to God, pointing out that he was grateful for their actions. And how many times do we not pause and thank God for the other believers? Paul was continually thankful for the Ephesian believers. His focus was not on himself, and he saw what others had done for him and was grateful for their interaction completely with him. So I have a question for you. Maybe a few of you could answer. Who was it that pointed you to Christ? Maybe it was many people over a long process. But does anyone have a name that comes to their mind? This person showed me Christ. They gave me they pointed me to how I could have a relationship with God. I can give a few names first. I would say my mom, my dad, a lady named Mrs. Cross at my church. She faithfully taught in children's church. And another teacher I had named Blaine. But each of these people, they just spent time pouring God's word into my life to the point where I realized I was a sinner and needed Christ. It wasn't just one interaction that did this, but it was people who had a love for God and they wanted to show that to me. So does anyone just have a name? You can just shout it out. Yes.
Bill Morris.
Yeah.
When I was in the military in Germany, he used to go with and pick me up. We were in the same unit. Mm-hmm. On Sundays, he would come church every Sunday.
That's awesome. Yeah. What else? Yes. Yeah. It's awesome.
My brother-in-law, Ben Cruz.
Yeah. Andrea, yeah. See, we all probably have someone we could share. And right now we have several that were already pointed out. But you know what? Are we thanking God for these people that have been in our lives? If they're still alive and living, are we praying for them to be serving the Lord still as well? Because sometimes that doesn't always happen. There's examples of believers who they may have helped lead you to the Lord, but something comes along in their life and they stop trusting God. We need to go to God in prayer for other believers because this world is in wickedness. And we need to be praying that God would strengthen their faith. Right there, it says in verse 16 that he gives doesn't cease to give thanks for them, and he makes mention of them in his prayers. Now, so point number one was we need to have a foundation of faith in Christ and love for other believers. And number two, we should thank God for other believers. And now, number three, this is they're going to go through verses 17 through 23, because it's all connected here. But we need to develop an empowering relationship with God. And this is what Paul is praying for the believers at Ephesus. He wants them to have a relationship with God that's reliant on his power. And this is something that we need in our lives, and we should be praying for other believers. In verse 17, it says that here's what Paul's praying, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Our relationship with God gives us hope. And he's praying for them to have a mindset that understands what God wants in their lives. They need knowledge. They need wisdom. And ultimately, the spirit right here is specifically talking about a mindset, but we cannot have that mindset apart from the Holy Spirit's working in our lives. And so we're praying that the Holy Spirit is working in each of our lives to help us understand the ways of God, how he wants us to live, and understand his purpose through Christ that he's working out in the world and that he's working out in our own lives. And then verse 18, it says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So we're blind before we have Christ in our hearts. We're blind. And once we get Christ, we don't understand everything about God's word, but we need the Holy Spirit to be working and revealing things to us as we grow closer to God. So he's praying that their eyes would be opened and understanding what God wants them to do, how he wants them to live, and ultimately how they can be pointed to Christ, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what riches of the glory of his inheritance to the saints. God has an inheritance for us as his children. As we've trusted in Christ, the only way of salvation, we have a reward with him and from him because we are his children. And it's not something we earned on our own. It's something we completely got through Christ alone. It's him. He's the one who gives us this inheritance with other believers. And then 19 through 23, it's going to talk here about God's power available to us. In verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power? This is the power to know and do God's will, to live out our lives in a way that God desires and has designed. Throughout scripture, we see time and time again the ways God wants his people to live. Throughout the Old Testament, you have the law explaining specifically how the Jewish people are supposed to live, what they can and can't do, detailed. And then throughout the New Testament, again, Christ repeats some things from the Old Testament, but he repeats many ways and attributes that we are supposed to live. And one of those things is a love for other people, knowing God's will. God's will for every single believer is for us to love one another. And this is empowered through the Holy Spirit. Right there in verse 20, it says, which he wrought in Christ. This is the power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Power was made evident through Christ's death and resurrection. You know what? This is the same power available to us to live our lives to honor and please God. We're not to live like the world. This is the power that we have to be thankful and love other Christians. The same power that raised Christ from the dead, it's what works in us through the Holy Spirit to walk in a way that's completely different from the world and changed by the changing of our mind and our heart to walk closer to God. In verse 21, it says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. This is Christ. He is the greatest of all. Jesus is to be exalted above all else. And when we see what his power has done in this world and in our own lives, we should be grateful. When we see how it works out in other believers, we should be grateful. This is how we're supposed to live, empowered by the one who is above all else. And he's above every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. We're all looking for a future world. And you know what? Christ, he is the ruler of that world. He is above all else there, and he is above all else now. But we have to live our lives completely dependent on him, not on our own, dependent on his power for us to live out this in the world. The power that will be made clear, the future kingdom, verse 21, is what is being explained. And this is the power that will come completely through Christ. And then verses 22 and 23, the power that is made, there is power currently made clear through Christ's leadership of the church. And he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and in all. Christ is the head of the church. He is the one who is in charge right now, that we are looking to as the authority of Scripture and the one who has worked out in our own lives. And ultimately, as other believers, we're trying to encourage one another through the power of Christ. On our own, we will definitely fail without this, but through Christ, we have strength. Through Christ, we are able to go through difficult situations. As we heard this morning, we were able to have power of through prayer when we go to God. And right here, throughout this entire passage, we are going to have an empowering relationship with God. Right here, what Paul's outlining in his prayer is specific things about what God has done through Christ. This is revelation that comes through a developing relationship with God. Immediately, by just reading scripture without God's power, you will not completely be able to understand what God is doing. But through a developing relationship with God, you're able to have an empowering relationship. You're able to walk in a new life. So what is your relationship with other believers in this church like? Is there something that's a barrier between you and others right now that you know of, that you can pinpoint? Are you thanking God for them being involved in your life? And are you praying for them? Could it be said of Bethel Baptist Fellowship that the people hear of your faith and love in Christ for other saints? This is something that we should desire. We want to have a reputation of faith in Christ and love for other believers. Most importantly, what is your relationship with God like? Are you seeking to know him above all else? Or are you living for yourself? And maybe you have a selfish faith that's focused just on you. Your relationship with God, it's going to impact other people. And you have power to do that. Maybe you say, I'm shy, I'm afraid. But God can give you the strength to reach out to other people. It's not in you. It's in Christ, empowering you through the Spirit. Most importantly, our relationship with God must be prioritized. Are we growing closer to him daily, looking to know his plan for this church and the world? Christ is the head of the church. He's above this whole world. And one day he will have a future kingdom where he will reign. And that will be so amazing that we get to look forward to that today. God wants us to seek him with our whole heart. We are to know his purposes and plan, and he gives us his word. He gives us the Holy Spirit, and he wants us to seek him with a close and growing relationship with him daily. Are you wanting to walk in a close relationship with God? It's easy to separate ourselves and try to live on our own. But God wants to empower us. He wants to give us strength. And we only have to ask. We also should be praying that for other believers. We should be praying that God would reveal the truth of Christ continually to other believers more and more. And thank God for what they've done in our lives for him. When we are walking in a close relationship with God, he will empower us to live through faith and love with the holy power of the Holy Spirit. Every moment, there's an opportunity for us to draw closer to God and understand his plan in the world. He has called us to love and serve him. And when we are doing that, we will be loving and serving other people. It's going to outflow in our life and it's going to be seen. Yesterday here at the workday, it was seen by many of the people who were here, almost everyone. You saw people that loved one another. They're working together, doing small tasks and big tasks alike, everything. All I was amazing to see. And they were having close fellowship with one another. And this is something that God gives us the power to have as believers. And they were here serving together. God wants us to have that kind of mindset in our entire life, everywhere we go with other believers. So ultimately, we need to seek a relationship with God, and it will empower us to live for him. So how is that going to look in your life this week? I have four things for you guys to consider from this passage. So listen closely. Most of them were in the outline already, but these are just kind of a summary review, specific things that you guys can think about doing. So number one, you must have a foundation of faith in Christ. This will in turn give us the love for the saints. So if you don't know Christ today, if you're living on your own and you haven't seen God's love in your own life, you need to accept him. That's where it's got to start. You know, the verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. He loved all of us. This is the mindset that believers gain. We gain the ability to love like God did, that he gave his only son. He gave Christ, Jesus Christ, to die for you, to die for me. And if you don't know that, you will not be able to love others in the right way. You need to start with the foundation of faith, believing that Christ came, lived, and died for you. He was sinless, but he wants to have a relationship with you because he paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we could live and have a relationship with God. He wants us to know him. So we first need to have a foundation of faith in Christ. That's what's going to give us the love. Number two, we must have a mindset of thanksgiving for other believers. It's easy to get critical and start pointing things out. But if we're thankful, that's not what's going to happen. It was told me a while back. I can't remember specifically who told it, but they said, think about your prayer life. How often do you pray for other people in comparison to how much you pray for yourself? They said, that could be just a check of pride in your life. If you're just so focused on yourself, so self-consumed, not focusing on others, think about the pride that's probably in your life. And maybe that's not what you're thinking when you're going to pray. You're like, I'm going to God. I'm looking to him. But we need to be outpouring for other believers as well, praying for God to do a work in them and develop a close relationship in their lives with him. So think about it today. Analyze your own prayer life and go, am I just praying about me? Or am I praying for other believers that they can grow? We have a list that was given to us with our missionaries on it for different things we can pray for. That's a great place to start because our missionaries have needs and we can pray that God would use them here in their mission, there in their mission fields. And then number four, so we need to have a mindset of thanksgiving toward other believers, and we should be praying for other believers. And finally, we must pursue a close relationship with God. It doesn't happen passively. We need to actively be involved in desiring to have a close relationship with God. Paul was praying that the believers would have this, but this is something that we need to pursue. Christ is above all. He's in charge of this church, the church. And this was something that Paul wanted the believers to understand. He wanted them to remember that. And you understand that with that close relationship with God, walking with him in his word and through his spirit each and every day. So I have a few questions here to kind of end out so we can think through how we're going to do this, how we're supposed to live out our relationship with God. So if several of you want to respond, this will be helpful. So first one, How can you encourage growth in other Christians? How can you help other Christians come alongside you and grow? So, anyone? Yes.
During fellowship time, taking time to read the Bible or pray or just have a Bible study with them. Just
yeah, that's very important. Showing scripture and praying, being open about your faith with other believers. That's something awesome we get to have. To anyone else, anything else? How can we encourage growth in other Christians? Just in our daily interactions, if we're around other believers, how are we going to help them grow? Yeah.
Just showing love to them.
Yeah.
Just showing outward love to them, that you're interested in them.
Yep. That's a great way. Show you're interested. Maybe it's asking them questions about how they're doing, how you can pray for them. Because how are we going to be praying for them if we don't know what's going on in their life? Yes, it's great. Anyone else? Yes.
I live in a building with a lot of Muslims,
Jewish
people, and a lot of them know me, and they always ask me a question because I've been through 7 surgeries, and I always thank the Lord for it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ladies asked me the other day, how did you do it? And I said, the Lord. And I talked with her about God has his work in my life. I don't know if she's a believer or not. I never asked her. But she said, I see something in you that I would love to, you know, talk about.
Yeah.
I said, anytime you're ready.
Yep. That's all. That's great. Yes. Was anyone, someone up here? Yes.
Being kind to our families and the people we interact with on a daily basis.
Yep. That's showing the love of Christ, isn't it? So having that mindset. And then another question. How do you know that Christ's power is sufficient for your life? Think about that one. How do you know that Christ's power is sufficient for your life? Yes.
The Bible says so. I have his word.
Yep.
And he keeps his word.
That's right. Has anyone experienced it this week? Has there been something in your life where you've gotten to see God do an amazing thing through your life? You watched him? You're dependent on him? Anything like that this week? I'll share one real quick. I had the opportunity to go out to a park this week and do some evangelism with some people. And I was praying that God would just allow me to just have conversations with people as opposed to just standing and handing out tracts, which it's a good thing to do. We need to be handing out information about Christ. But I was burdened that I'd get to have a conversation and share the gospel with people. You know what? I didn't get just one. I got 3 of those opportunities. And I praise the Lord for that. You know, each of the men, they were lost, but they got to hear the gospel and they were willing to chat with me. Each one, it was like over 30 minutes with each of them. So I praise the Lord for that. And you know what? It's something where I got to see God's power. You know, one of the men I was talking to, he proudly proclaimed he was an agnostic and didn't want to have any relationship specifically with God. But he said, I believe there's a power out there. I just don't know who that is yet. You know what? I pointed him to scripture and showed it was Christ. And he looked at me and goes, why do you look a little bit nervous at this? And I go, at that moment I prayed and I got God's power to actually clearly present the gospel further after that. And he goes, wait a second, you were nervous a second. Why aren't you anymore? And he was just kind of confused. But it's the power of Christ that allows us to do that. And that's an example of it that I got to experience this week. And maybe you guys have gotten to see something like that as well. All right. I have one more question. Since God's power is available to you, what do you need to do to take hold of it this week? If I could get maybe 3 or 4 of you at least, what do you need to do specifically to take hold of God's power in your life? Yes.
Just step out in faith.
Okay. Step out in faith. Trust that God's in control, right? Yep. Anyone? Yes.
Listen to the power of the Holy Spirit within you.
Yep.
Listen to his will.
Yeah. See, he convicts us of. Yeah.
And it would help to be in his word.
Yes, be in God's word. And the Spirit's going to convict us of sin, show us how we're supposed to live. All right. Can I get 2 more? How can we take hold of God? How can we take hold of God's power in our lives this week? What can we do? Yes.
Remember his goodness.
Yes, remember his goodness. If we remember that he is good to us, we're going to want to walk in his ways, right? And yes.
A by reading the Bible.
Yep. Foundational.
Forces me every...
If we're not in the Word, we can't know the power, right?